Good afternoon, everybody. How you feeling? Good? Oh, yeah. I'm Carolyn Smigalski. I'm the Beer Fox, the editor of Beer and Brewing at Bella Online, which is the voice of women on the internet. I'm here to welcome you to the 33rd annual Great American Beer Festival. How do you feel about that? Yeah, come on, louder. Make us hear it. You bet. We're here at the Beer and Food Pavilion, and our presentation this hour is Sauce It, Glaze It, Brine It. Make beer a part of your food. One of our guests today is the owner of the gold medal winning Fate Brewing Company, which just opened in February of 2013. Located in Boulder, Colorado, it's all about craveable food and a passion for craft beer in a contemporary ambiance, and now with the very famous brewer, Jeff Griffin. Please help me welcome Mike Lewinsky. Presenting with Mike today is the best known as the top chef on cable TV's Bravo channel. He was named Best Chef of Denver at the International Wine Fest in 2006 and 2007. A seven-time winner of the Flatiron Chef competition, and was a guest chef at the James Beard House. Please welcome from Blackberry, Hosea Rosenberg. Black Belly.
Thank you, Carolyn. We're happy to be here. You guys getting enough beer out there? I'm going to let them tell you about the beers, and I'm going to talk about the food. We got three courses for you, so hopefully you're satisfied after this.
So Carolyn introduced us, but I'm Mike. We'll try and say our names again, just so we can sort it out. Thanks for coming. This is one of our favorite things to do, is just cook with food, pair with food, and actually give a more intimate experience about bringing some of the beers that we do that weren't in competition or aren't on the floor, but are super special to us. So we're excited about what you guys get to try. Jeff is our brewer here. So Fate just won the gold medal for Kolsch, which is really great news. They ran out of Kolsch on the floor. And so a neat thing even just about being here is you guys are getting the only Kolsch-ish in the building. Because we use that same Kolsch as our base beer for the coffee Kolsch, which is in this third pairing. So really special beers coming out, and we're going to let Jeff talk about a lot of the techniques and things that we do to kind of create these flavors. And it should be a fun time. The first beer we have, I don't know if everybody has it in the glass. Some people waiting. How's the back doing? You're good? Great. So One beer we make really regularly is a Goza, and I'll let Jeff tell you more kind of about stylistically about that. One of my favorite styles, you're seeing a lot more come out in cans around the area. There's definitely a ton more on the festival hall. And so Jeff's Goza in particular was a great seller at the brew pub, and we thought, hey, why not experiment with this a little bit? You don't see too many tequila barrel-aged beers, although becoming more popular. And we just thought there would be a great marriage between tequila and beer in this one. So Goza, Jeff will tell you about, is our base beer. We use Arta tequila barrels in this to age it. And think we have a really great marriage between kind of the vanilla notes and the wood and the oak and the tequila flavors that blend into the Goza. So Jeff's going to tell you more about that.
Hi, I'm Jeff. For those of you who don't know what a Goza is, it is a historic German sour beer, spiced. It's a wheat beer, and it's also spiced with salt and coriander. The way we do this one at Fate is it's a triple decoction sour mash beer. So we do about a 6-hour triple decoction, let it sit overnight, let the pH go down to about 3.6 or so in that range, and then from there we'll start lautering and making the beer. So that's the technical side of it. Mike's more of the storyteller here. I'm the technical guy, so I'm gonna.
All right.
And I bring the food. So these guys had me sit down at Fate. We tried a bunch of beers together, and we wanted to kind of do a progression. So we thought this would be a great starting beer. It's finished with tequila barrels. It's got a sourness to it, a refreshingness to it. So I thought a ceviche would be a great way. It kind of goes with the tequila. Makes sense. So this is Mahi Mahi Ceviche. Fresh mahi. It's soaked in lime juice for about 3 hours. Diced up. There's mango. I was going to cook for you, but we decided we'd just drink and I'd show the ingredients. It's easy, right? So mango, avocado, jalapeno, red onion, cilantro, lime juice, salt and pepper. Super simple. It's fresh. The acidity should work well with the beer, but it also has a little spice to it. And I think they're great together. So you guys, everybody get some out there. You're enjoying it? Cool. So the idea of this demo was to cook with beer. So for this course, when I say cook with beer, I'm actually going to cook and drink beer while I'm cooking. The next two recipes actually have the beer in it. This one, I just was inspired by the flavors, and I tried it with some beer mixed in, and it didn't really make it, it just thinned it out. So I figure you just put the beer in your glass, and you put the chip in your mouth, and you're good to go.
All right, so good news about that pairing. Everybody happy? Awesome. We're going to let you enjoy that for just a couple minutes, kind of get the next beers coming out in the glass and the foods on the food on plates and in your hands. Any questions about Goza, ceviche, that particular barrels that we used time? I could just tell you about it too. Awesome. So, there was one up front.
Did you actually ferment the Goza with open barrels, or were they closed?
Is this working? It was just a normal fermentation, and we did the aging in the barrels. So really no actual fermentation, just aging.
Another question right here.
What kind of tequila barrels do you use?
We worked with Arta Tequila, a Denver-owned company. Obviously, tequila by law has a lot of legislation around it, so it's definitely Hacienda grown coming out of the tequila region of Mexico. And we have a really great partnership with them. So you can find this beer in particular on Colorado liquor store shelves in the large format. They're in 750 milliliter bottles, and a beer you'll see a lot more regularly from us. So currently, we started this batch and we aged in about 6 tequila barrels. Since then, we have about 12 aging, and then we have 15 more on the way. So you'll see a lot more of this beer to come. The Brewers Association puts on a great event called Savor. Lots of attendees to Great American Beer Fest sometimes don't really know that's the same association, but it's an annual festival. They put it on in D.C. It's kind of the West Coast, East Coast thing. So anybody from the East Coast, don't miss out on Savor. Anybody not from the East Coast, try and get to Savor. It's an amazing event. It's a lot like this, pairing food and beer together. Everybody brings really special beer. So I tell that whole story because D.C. beer, anybody from the D.C. area? So D.C. beer is a popular forum around that area for, you know, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, obviously D.C. They blog and write about a bunch of stuff. One of their annual things that they do is come out with the top 20 can't-miss beers at Savor. They've been doing it for years. And Savor's a really neat fest because there's 72, 6 breweries, each bringing 2 beers. So it's a lottery for the brewing world to get in, and because there's a lot of people who want to get in. But year after year, they come up with this top 20 out of 152. And so this beer in particular was number 6 on their list, which we were really honored about. And we were in pretty phenomenal company. So
We're super proud of this beer. We love kind of how the tequila works in it. We love our Goza as well, and you'll probably see that on shelves here soon. But this one is kind of extra special for us. So, any other questions out there?
One right here.
How long do you age the beer for in the barrels?
It depends on the use of the barrel. Typically, if it's a fresh barrel, I think we've been doing about 2 months. Second fills take about 4 to 5 months. It just depends on when the flavor is right. And obviously, when the barrel's more fresh, it's going to happen faster.
We have one here.
Where do we find your guys' beer? Like, what liquor stores can we go to? Where can we find your guys' beer?
We're not packaging too much of our beer right now. We have a lot of keg distribution, so it's in a lot of restaurants more so than liquor stores. But you can find us around the Front Range, all the way from in restaurants, where Colorado Springs all the way up to Fort Collins, west out to Vail and Eagle area, and then kind of dot the landscape all around there. In these large format bottles, around here, they're at Argonaut and Applejack's, very common. Up north, Total Beverage and Hazel's and Liquor Mart up in Boulder. In Arvada, I know they're at Mile High Wine and Spirits. So certainly around.
And we have another one right here.
How many times do you use the barrel and do you use for longer at each time that it goes?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think brewing and aging in barrels is a really neat thing for brewers and breweries just in general, because it's kind of a living organism. You know, you put it in a barrel, you taste it, and the neatest thing about it is sometimes you pull it out and it's really great, and you have to ask yourself the question, you know, like, does more time add to this, or, you know, are we there? And so really that all depends. And Jeff had answered earlier, it kind of just depends on the freshness of the barrel, too. We got really fresh Arda tequila barrels, so it was able to incorporate that flavor really quickly. So because that happened quickly, there's a lot more kind of left over for a second generation through those barrels. So we typically try and get at least two uses. Rule of thumb would probably be 2 to 3. And then... a lot of people, then they turn into vessels, so you can do whatever with them. All right, this one's a really neat one. This is a barrel-aged foreign stout. My staff and employees at the brew pub haven't even tried this beer, so you guys are extra special today. So we do a lot of types of barrel aging, bourbon, wine barrel, tequila barrel, and this is a foreign stout that we brewed and put into a Breckenridge whiskey barrel. So Breckenridge is a local craft distillery up here in Colorado, and so I thought it was a great food beer to pair with because it gets a lot of great roasty, you get that bourbon coming off of that really well. And so I'm excited for you guys to have this pairing. I'm going to have Jeff talk a little bit more about the foreign stout.
Okay. Well, this pretty straightforward beer. It's just a foreign stout, about a 7.5%, 8% beer in a bourbon barrel. So, you know, nothing really crazy with this one, but pretty classic flavors.
Well, they asked me to pair with this beer. I think it's really good stout myself. And one of my favorite things to cook and to eat is pork. I actually have a farm. We raise our own pigs for our restaurant, for our catering business. So I thought, what better way to use this port than to braise some pork belly? So we have a slow roasted pork belly cooked in the stout beer. It's also got some ginger, some soy, some citrus. So a little bit of Asian flavors, but it's not an Asian dish. Then it's served with some braised cabbage. So it's red cabbage with apples and more bacon, because if the pork belly wasn't enough, we got some bacon in there with it, some apples, a little red onion, vinegar, and some Creole mustard. So it's mustard and horseradish. And the richness of the beer should should go really well with the richness of the pork, but then the cabbage and the mustard should kind of cut through that richness of the dish. And as the dish braises, it kind of turns into its own sauce. So you've got the beer and all the juices from the pork and the soy and the citrus and the ginger all kind of meld, and it kind of makes its own sauce. So I don't know about you, but I really like the combination, and it's getting into wintertime now. So this is a dish we like to do as the weather gets colder. This is a good kind of gut warming entree. And I'm going to do a little self promotion here real quick. We're opening our restaurant in Boulder in about 3 weeks. We're just a couple blocks away from these guys. So if you guys live in Boulder, come to Boulder, come see us East Boulder off Arapaho. We'll see you there. We'll be doing lots of collaboration. We have I feel like I'm on Brewery Row down there. We've got these guys, we've got Avery, we've got Upslope, we've got Wildwoods, we've got Brew, we've got a lot of good breweries down there. So I think it's the cool part of town. So come see us, please. And we'll take questions again now.
Is beer the only liquid you're using in the braise?
There's also a little bit of chicken stock.
What percentage?
Orange juice, chicken stock, and soy sauce go in there as well.
What percentage of beer? How much beer?
The beer is about 50% of the liquid. Any other questions?
So when you design a, beer and food pairing, what comes first usually, tasting the beer or coming up with the inspiration of the food?
So in this case, it actually goes both ways. It depends on how we're designing the menu. But in this case, I went and visited these two guys. We tried 20 beers, and then I had to call them up the next day and ask them what we tried, but... we tried the beers first. We talked about what would be a good progression of flavors. So it wasn't just the beer, but it was like what would make sense in order. And then I asked him a lot of questions about what went into the beer. And then tried to come up with dishes that would pair well. You want some flavors that are complementary. And then you also, when you're pairing, you want some flavors that are contradictory. So you kind of get that play of acidic and richness, and in the last course you get like the spiciness with the sweetness. So that was kind of the idea behind it. But sometimes I'll come up with a course and then I'll talk to these guys and they'll pair a beer, or vice versa. So you can kind of go both ways.
She wants to know if these recipes are available, because it's awesome. We love it.
Thank you. Yes, I will. If I hadn't been going to the beer festival all weekend, I would have actually brought flyers, but I forgot. So we will put these on our website. If you go to blackbelly.com, another self-promotional plug there, we'll put some recipes up for you guys. And we're tweeting and Facebooking about the beer festival, so we'll put a link up there for it. Become a fan, and we'll give you all the recipes you want. Go to
FateBrewingCo.com.
Hosea, are there any beer styles that you specifically would advise not using in the kitchen?
Not really, other than maybe like a light beer. So some beers, they don't add anything to the food. If I poured Bud Light into a recipe, I don't think it's going to do anything. These beers have a lot of flavor, and I'm looking for flavor. I'm trying to distill those flavors. So to me, I prefer to cook with stronger beers, beers with a lot of character. Something that's just really light and watery, it's not going to do much for me, and it's not going to help the food out. And then there's a big difference between cooking with beer and pairing with beer. you don't necessarily have to have the beer in the recipe, but if it lends itself to the recipe, like this stout and the pork belly added flavor to the pork. So it goes well with it, plus it cooks well with it. Hopefully that answered your question there. Okay, one more.
Okay, this is my question now. Do you guys do you like to pair beers that are like fruity beers? Like we had a couple of really good, like a key lime and coconut and stuff like that. Would you pair that or use that in your recipes?
Absolutely. Again, it goes along the lines of trying to figure out what ingredients will highlight the beer and vice versa. A perfect, in my mind, a perfect pairing shows off the beer as well as the food. It's not just one or the other, and they kind of play off each other. So, I would definitely use fruity beers, really strong. Like I did 2 years ago, just before GABF, we did a pairing with Firestone Walker, and they were doing their anniversary ales, which are all barley wines. And pairing with a barley wine is extremely difficult. We did 5 courses of barley wine. That was like probably the biggest pairing challenge for me because barley wines blow out your palate. I mean, they're so strong. So it's really hard to like build a progression. We got really creative with it, but we started doing things like literally tobacco smoking pork and putting just piles of chilies and things. So you had some sort of contrast with the food. So I think a good chef working with a good brewer, you can pretty much pair anything if you put enough thought into it. So now we're going to talk about the award-winning, the gold medal beer. Give it up to this guy for putting some gold medal beer out of Boulder.
Hey, I'm going to let Mike tell the story of the beer, and then I will talk about the beer.
Go ahead. Go.
Why don't you talk about the base?
All right. Well, the base beer what you're drinking is our Kolsch base beer. It is with cold-pressed Ozo coffee. That's the difference. The beer itself is a decocted Kolsch style. It's one of those beers it's really simple when you look at it on paper. It's two grains, one hop, one yeast. It's Pilsner malt, a little acid malt, Hallertau hops, Kolsch yeast, a little decoction in the mash, and there you have. That's how you get the Kolsch. So, like I said, a really simple beer on paper, but a lot of flavor, sessionable, 5%, easy to drink beer.
So we're pouring a beer on the floor, or we're pouring a beer on the floor for this session, but it's out. Coffee IPA. So I don't know, has anybody in here tried Fate's Coffee IPA? So if anybody's coming to the PM session, there'll be if you get there early, because we have to save some for each session, you can try it. But really great beer. So we work with this coffee company whose roastery is actually kind of right next to Black Belly and Fate and that East Boulder side. And they do phenomenal coffee. And so before we even had beer, we worked really hard with those guys in a roastery lab, picking out single origin coffees and finding the nuances of the flavors of each of these coffees and what might pair well with some of the beer styles we were doing. But then we revisited that once we had our beer out and tasted a bunch of things together. And really, the coffee IPA was what we built this experiment for. We tasted it with, again, several different varietals and concentrations and really had a great day and learned a lot about coffee. But set out to make something that was equally representative of IPA and equally representative of coffee. And so we kind of came out with that beer, but we were trying our other beers too, and our coffee Kolsch was just a complete tie. So rather than walking away with one coffee beer and trying to do a coffee beer that wasn't kind of a stout or a porter, because we see those a lot, and just doing something different and trying to open people's eyes to the fact that coffee can be blended or paired with those lighter style beers too, we walked away with two pretty fantastic beers. So again, if you're coming to tonight's PM session, check us out early because we saved some for the PM session. But this is the coffee Kolsch, which drinks really, really nice. And so when Hosea was visiting and we were drinking it, it just really spoke to us as dessert. So, you know, how many times do you have a Kolsch? You don't, you kind of don't think of that as like your dessert pairing, but just the amazingness of the vanilla that comes out in this beer and the lightness of it made it really nice.
And so as far as the dessert goes, I wanted to pair just a touch of chocolate with the coffee, which is my favorite combination. I actually go to Ozo Coffee Company almost every day for a mocha. So I make the batter with the beer. The beer actually adds the leaven, or the carbonation of the beer is what rises the cake. So it's Kolsch beer, the coffee Kolsch beer, a little bit of cocoa powder. There's some eggs, some butter, some flour. Really simple. The cake, as it bakes, it doesn't have a lot of that coffee flavor from the beer, but I think it has a little of that yeastiness to it, and just a touch of the, you know, the barley left in it. And I think it pairs really well. We have a little salt caramel sauce go over the top. To me, it's just a nice finish. I would serve this cake in the restaurant with just like some really simple ice cream, warm up the cake, a little salt caramel, and call it a day. If you take a bite of the cake and you drink the beer, you get, it just feels like a dessert to me. And I really wanted to highlight this beer because I knew it was a winner even before the judges did. And we're really proud of this all. I feel like it's, you know, a very small version of a complete meal here when you eat all three in progression. So I guess we'll take questions again.
We've got one right here.
Yeah, my question actually goes back to the first dish, the ceviche. What is the required pH of the liquid used to properly cook the fish in a ceviche? And would there be any reason to, or improvements made if you did something with like a sour beer to cook a ceviche?
Can you repeat the very last part about that, about the sour beer?
Would it be possible or desirable to make a ceviche with a sour beer as opposed to like lime juice?
You need a very strong pH to cook fish. You're actually not applying any heat to the fish. So it's pure lime juice, which is extremely acidic, way more acidic than a sour beer would be. So you soak the fish, you cut it up really small, and there's not a, this is one of those things where you don't follow a recipe to the letter. You have to use your eyes and your nose and your mouth to cook. The thicker you cut the fish, the longer you soak it. So in this case, I cut it pretty small and it took about 2.5 hours to cook, and you can actually see the fish turn white. And when it's white about 75-80% of the way through, that's when you know it's safe to eat. It's cooked. I don't know what the pH is of lime juice per se, but I'd say it's pretty far to the extreme of the acidity level. I don't know the exact number, but the higher the acidity, the shorter amount of time it takes to soak the fish. And I don't know if soaking it in the beer would actually do the trick or not. I haven't tried it. I'll give it a shot though.
We have another one.
You were on Top Chef, right?
That's right.
How did that change your life?
It changed my life profoundly. The show was really difficult. I'm a competitive person by nature, and I've entered a lot of competitions over the years here in Boulder and Denver. And when I got picked for the show, I actually didn't know much about it, and I had no idea I was going to be on national television. And like, I'd say that one of the hardest parts about the show was we were sequestered for 6 weeks. And if you've ever been sequestered, like on jury duty or something like that, like no contact. So for 6 weeks, I didn't have my phone. I didn't have computers. I didn't have my wallet. I didn't have identification. I couldn't leave where I was. We were trapped for 6 weeks. And try not having a cell phone for 6 weeks and see how you feel. It's pretty stressful. but I was really glad I did it. It opened up a lot of doors. I've traveled the world because of the show. I've met a lot of my heroes, like chefs I've looked up to my whole career, and it obviously helped me out a lot, and allowed me to go into business for myself rather than work for people for the rest of my career. So that was huge for me.
Any other questions? Oh, we have one over here.
So when I think about coffee, I don't think much about Kolsch. I was like, coffee porters, coffee stouts come to mind immediately. What made you guys think that a Kolsch would go well with coffee? Because this is fantastic.
Well, we didn't. We sat down with all the five core beer styles we knew we were going to do, and we tried all those five styles with different coffees, and surprisingly enough, the IPA and the Kolsch really popped for us. We didn't think it would work. It's just by trial. So, yeah.
And just to add to that, we were working on intentionally not doing a darker style, because to us that was very well done and very common. And so it was really our goal, and we got the benefit of working with some pretty, you know, people who are as geeky about coffee as we are about beer. So it was a great synergy between the two of us, which is cool.
What was the coffee done at the finish in the whirlpool, or is it done in the boil? And did you use whole beans, or what kind of mat crush did you use?
So we don't use the beer to steep or brew the coffee. It's more of a blending, and it's an addition to the secondary fermentation, and it's a very specific ratio and a very specific coffee. And I think that you know adds to the beauty of it. This is the so coffee's a crop. And just like wine, every year the beans change and things change about the coffee. So this is actually our second crop of single origin Ethiopian coffee. And so it's even from, if you had this beer last year, it'd be subtly different. Very subtle, but subtly different. And so, you know, that's also something that year after year you have to kind of lean on and maybe tweak the recipe, or maybe even choose a different single origin for that. But a really, really great project. It was a lot of fun. And what I learned, I mean, we walked out of there and we started this project, super excited to work with this crew. And then I think knowing Jeff and I collectively doing a bunch of stuff with beer before and feeling like, you know, our eyes were open to a lot of things, and them in the coffee world, that their eyes were open to a lot of things. We all left that first lab, that second lab, just profoundly blown away about what we were able to do flavor-wise by pairing the two. So the IPA, like I said, which is at the booth, and this coffee Kolsch. So it was a really eye-opening project.
All right, we want to thank Mike Lewinsky and Jeff Griffith and Hosea Rosenberg, our all-stars today, and thank you for attending the Beer and Food Pavilion, and have fun at the rest of the Great American Beer Fest. Thank you, gentlemen.